Acts chapter 16, the whole chapter. No, we're going to move through it pretty fast, though. I feel like I've preached on some of it, at least the Philippian jailer, just not too long ago. We're just going to hit some high points. I'm going to hit some a main theme from every little snippet that's in here. I've titled today's sermon "Faith Alive." I don't know why it's been titled that, but it has been titled "Faith Alive." I have "Faith Alive" written before everything. Faith Alive. It says, "Then when he came to Derbe and Lystra, and behold, a certain disciple, certain disciples were there, named Timothy, son of a Jewish woman who believed, but his father was a Greek. He was well spoken of by the brethren at Lystra and Iconium. Paul wanted to have him go on with him, and he took him and circumcised him because of the Jews who were in that region, for they all knew that his father was a Greek. As they went through the cities, they delivered them the decrees to which to keep, which Jerusalem." Let me start over. As they went through the cities, they delivered to them the decrees to keep, which were determined by the apostles and the elders at Jerusalem. So the churches were strengthened in the faith and increased in number daily. So we remember from the Jerusalem Council, circumcision was a big deal. It was a main thing. Do they have to become Christians first? And so the answer was no, they didn't. They could go on and do their own thing. But then he gets Timothy, and he is having Timothy circumcised. I don't understand it, but a couple of things. 1 Corinthians 9:22, "I am become all things to all men that I might save some." 1 Corinthians 9:22, is that 1 Corinthians or 2nd? First, "I have become all things to all men that I might save some." So he did it because the Jews who were in the area, and he, Derbe and Lystra, and he would always go to the synagogue first. He circumcised him. Had him. His father was a Greek. His mother was a Jew. It wasn't circumcised. He circumcised him. Are we willing to become all things to all men? Are we willing to become all things to all men so that we might win some? 2 Timothy 1:5. I think that's right. Let me look it up. 2 Timothy 1:5. "When I call to remembrance the genuine faith that is in you, which first dwelt in your grandmother Lois and in your mother Eunice, I am persuaded is in you also." Listen, raise spiritual kids. Just raise spiritual kids. You want a faith come alive? Raise spiritual kids. And listen, grandmothers, grandparents, you can raise spiritual kids too, right? Grandparents and parents. Listen, I know that there's going to be, I've raised my kids. I know there's going to be a time in there where they're going to resent you for it. Okay? I know that. But raise spiritual kids. Raise your kids to be godly. I've told mine, I said, listen, I did the best that I could do, and now it's on you. And you do the best you can do. Raise them the way that they should go. And then one day it'll be on them. One day soon, it'll be on them. It'll be on them. Raise your kids in a spiritual way and make faith come alive. Listen, if your kids ever get on your nerves, okay. No, but if they do, and you just need somebody to talk to, just come talk to me. I mean, I'll just sit there and listen. I'll just, And all the while in my head, I've got my own kids to worry about. But just come talk to me, and I'll agree with you. But listen, faith alive. Make your faith come alive. Follow the kids. Raise godly kids. Raise them to be godly. It's in your lives. It's in following the Holy Spirit. Your faith and your words is an influence to them. Faith alive. So the churches were all strengthened in faith and increased in number daily. So they were strengthened in faith. these were small churches. We're fixing to get to a place where there wasn't a church, Philippi. They're fixing to come to. There wasn't even a church there. Small churches. He's only gone on one missionary journey, the Gentiles. He's on his second now. And these are small churches. And here's my dilemma. Here's what I've always struggled with. He was maybe 2 months, 3 months in a place. I think the longest he stayed in one place was 2 years. How did they ever have a church? I mean, right? How did they ever have a church if he's only there for a small time? Listen, they had the Bible. Only the Old Testament. They didn't have the New Testament. It hadn't been written yet. They might have had some snippets of the gospel, Gospels. They had the Old Testament. They had the Bible. They had the Holy Spirit. And they had the church. The Bible, the Holy Spirit, and the church. You want to make your faith come alive? You want to make your faith come alive? Try those three things. The Bible, the Spirit, and the church. You've got the Word of God. We've got the complete Word of God. We've got it. We've got the Holy Spirit within us. And this is a failure of ours. We talk about the Holy Spirit a lot, but what do we do with the Holy Spirit? Do we let Him lead us into all truth in the Bible? We have the church. Do we make it a point to gather together and to see each other? Do we make it a point to see each other during the week? Do we? Listen, we have three discipleship opportunities: church, Sunday school, and Wednesday night. All right, three. That's half the week, right there. But if I say, I get in trouble for this. I can get in trouble for this. It's all right. I'm old enough. I don't care. If I say that we need to start evangelizing, nobody will come. If I say that it's time for us to start evangelizing, we can have 130 in Sunday school, but if I say it's time to start going out and knocking on doors, maybe 5, 10. We got the discipleship part down. What about the evangelism? What about the reaching people in the name of Christ? I'm not talking about one or the other, which is what we do now, one or the other, and it's discipleship. I'm talking about both and reaching people. Our faith will come alive if we both and reach people. The Bible. Listen, the truth is, if you're worried about evangelism, no, if you're worried about discipleship, the truth is this: the Bible, the Holy Spirit, and the church. And that's it. That's it. If they have a Bible and they have the Holy Spirit and they get plugged into a church, discipleship is going to take place in their lives. And that's it. That's it. Truly it. The faith can come alive. Faith alive. This next one. When they had gone through Phrygia and the region of Galatia, they were forbidden by the Holy Spirit to preach the word in Asia. After they had come to Mysia, there they tried to go into Bithynia, but the Spirit did not permit them. So passing through Mysia, they came down to Troas. A vision appeared to Paul in the night. A man of Macedonia stood and pleaded with him, saying, "Come over to Macedonia and help us." Now, after he had seen the vision, immediately we sought to go to Macedonia, concluding that the Lord had called us to preach the gospel to them. First of all, let me just say a couple things that are not really that important, but because we're getting into, it's a lot of, we went from here to here to here to here to here. In the back of your Bibles, you probably got some maps, right? Just get one out, look for them. You might say Paul's second missionary journey, Paul's first missionary journey, Paul's third, whatever. just check them out. It'll show you traces that he went. You can trace his trail and see where he went. That's just free for everybody's looking at their maps. Everybody's looking for their maps. They are. They're there and they're good and they're worthwhile. Another thing is you'll notice there in verse 10, the word we. This is not, it's not really important, but you'll notice the word we. This is Luke joins the party for some reason. He's probably in the region. He's with them. He joins their party. And this is the first time we get the we. But he's preaching. Now we don't think about this very much, but this is an important part. In the history of Christianity, if he had gone to Asia instead of Bithynia, is it Bithynia? If he had gone into Asia, the gospel would have traced the other way. Would have gone into Asia, would have gone into China, would have gone, come to America, would have gone over, but he went the other way and my point is this. Let me get to my point. Is the Holy Spirit putting up a stop sign in your program or your plan or your ministry or in the ministry and the program of our church? Is the Holy Spirit putting up a stop sign? And if he is, would we recognize it? Would we recognize it? Paul had it pretty easy. He had a dream. A man standing in Macedonia, waving at him, saying, come over here. But he had already stopped going into Asia. He had already stopped it. Listen, it was a good thing. He was going to go. He was going to be a missionary. He was going to... pour out his heart. He was going to preach the gospel. But was it where God wanted him to be? Wherever God sends you, there's going to be people ready to listen. Whenever God sends you somewhere, there's going to be people there who are going to be listening, and they're going to be listeners, and they're going to be ready to listen. When God sends you somewhere, there are going to be people who are going to hear. What would we do if we heard, if the Holy Spirit stopped us in our tracks? And it was something that we wanted to do. It was something that we could justify biblically. It was something that we could honor God by. And he stopped us in our tracks. And he said, no. He said, what you're going to do is you're going to go over here. I don't know what it would look like for us. I don't know what that might look like to see the man in Macedonia waving and saying, come over here and preach the gospel to us. Come over here and preach the gospel to us. But we've got to be open to it. We've got to be open to it. We can't get so hung up on our idea and on our plans that we totally leave God out of the picture. We just can't leave God. You want to make your faith come alive? Follow the Holy Spirit. Amen. Follow him. Amen. Follow him all the way. Now they came, therefore sailing from Troas, we ran a straight course to Samothrace, and next they came to Neapolis, and from there we went to Philippi, which is the foremost city of that part of Macedonia colony. And we were staying at that city for some days. And on the Sabbath day, we went to the city. We went out of the city to the riverside where prayer was customarily made. And we sat down and we spoke to the women there. First of all, Paul's usual modus operandi has been to go to the synagogue. He goes out of the city, goes to sit by the riverside. Apparently, there wasn't enough people there to have a synagogue. Takes 10 Jewish men, 10 Jewish men to have a synagogue. There was no church. That's my point. There's no church there. So he meets a lady named Lydia. Now, a certain woman named Lydia heard us. She was a seller of purple from the city of Thyatira, and she worshiped God. The Lord opened her heart to heed the things spoken by Paul. God opened her heart. That, you know what? Do you want to pray for somebody that's lost? Just pray and ask God to open their heart. Ask God to open up their heart. They can't even, you know, we like to think that they can just decide, you know, they can decide that it's the right. And we're trying to convince them, you know, and that's all good. But listen, unless God opens their heart, they can't, nothing. God has to open their heart and pray that God will open their hearts. Pray for this city that God will open their hearts. Pray for your neighbors that God will open their hearts. Pray for your family that God will open their hearts. Pray for everyone that God will open their hearts. Oh, 2 Corinthians 4:4 says something about them. You going to put it up there? Yeah. Whose minds the God of this age has blinded, who do not believe, lest the light of the gospel of glory of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine on them. Pray that gospel shine. Pray that that light of Jesus will shine upon the fellows who need it and who need to hear it. Faith come alive, faith alive. Pray that God will open their hearts. Then he's going on, and Lydia asked him to come stay at their house, and they came and stayed at their house. Then they're going on, and every day when they would go down to the river to pray, there was this demon-possessed girl who would follow them around. And, well, let me just read it. And this girl followed Paul and us and cried out, saying, "These men are servants of the Most High God who proclaim the way of salvation." And this she did for many days. But Paul, greatly annoyed, turned and said to the Spirit, "I command you in the name of Jesus Christ, come out of her." And he came out that very hour. She came out. He came out forever. Here's the thing. She was telling the truth. She was telling the truth. "These men are servants of the Most High God who proclaim to us the way of salvation." That's the truth. She was telling the truth. Why didn't they let her go on? Why did Paul get annoyed and turn around and say, "I command you to come out"? Because she was possessed by a demon. Her life didn't match her witness. And Paul didn't want that. She wasn't saved. She wasn't saved at all until Paul cast a demon out of her, if at all. I say she was. It doesn't say until Paul cast a demon out of her. It doesn't say that she was, but she was a demon. She was possessed by a demon. She made her owners a lot of money. And in fact, that's why Paul and Silas get thrown in jail. They get angry because their money is gone. They see that it's gone. They rouse up the magistrates and everybody. But listen, her life did not match the witness that she bore. He was God, the Most High God, who declared to them the way of salvation. And Paul didn't want to be associated with her. They all knew her. Everybody around, everybody in town knew her, knew she was. Knew that she was this diviner and this fortune teller. And they didn't want anything to do with her. He didn't want Jesus Christ's name to be associated with her. I told you they put them in. They arrested Paul and Silas after that, beat them with many stripes, and put them in jail. Told the guard to keep them in a secure place. He put them in the middle in the dungeon. And verse 25 is just a key verse. It says, "But at midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns to God, and the prisoners were listening." Listen, when your mind is in heaven, your feet can't feel the socks. When your mind is in heaven, these guys, their mind was in heaven. They were straight. They were purpose. They were, let's just stop. The prisoners were listening to him. All of a sudden, there's a giant earthquake. And the earthquake comes, and it quakes, and the chains and the doors fly open from everyone. He can't see. He doesn't know what's going on. He's about to kill himself. And Paul says, whoa, wait a minute. Do yourself no harm. We're all here. He gets his little lamp, and he lights it up, and he takes it, and he looks. These guys' lives matched their testimony. These guys had a life that matched the testimony that they are in. He said to them, sirs, what must I do to be saved? Verse 30. And verse 31, they said, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. You will be saved, you and your household. Believe on Christ. He took them outside in the courtyard. He washed their wounds. Probably there as well, they were baptized. All of them saved and baptized. I thought about these questions, the next two questions, quite a bit. What events or things, troubles that make life dark for our church? I don't know that we have troubles that make life dark for our church, but what we have is we have apathy. That's what we have. We have an attitude of apathy that makes life dark for our church. We have an attitude of, I don't care, that makes life dark for our church. We have an attitude of, well, if I have time, I'll go, I'll show up. It makes life dark for our church. You see, we really don't have persecution. We really don't have going to jail or getting beat or anything like that. We just have apathy. What's God going to do to bring light and hope to our church? What's he going to do? Well, if I'm right, then he'll remove the apathy. He'll remove the apathy. And we'll start caring about the church and about Jesus. Now, there's the rest of this chapter, and let me try to explain it to you. Paul and Silas were Romans, not just Jews. They were Romans. They had been beaten, which was illegal to do to a Roman citizen. And they were put in prison. All of this was just highly illegal. So when Paul finds out, when Paul says it, when these guys find out, they get word, the magistrate gets word from the higher-ups, and you're going home today. Paul goes into Paul and Silas, y'all are going home today. Paul says, no, we ain't going anywhere. And the magistrate's kind of, he says, we're Roman citizens. If they want us to leave, they can come get us. They can escort us out of here. They can take us out of here. They can apologize to us in front of everybody, and they can see us on our way. When they found out they were Roman citizens, they were beside themselves. They didn't know what to do. And eventually they came down. They escorted them out. They apologized to them and asked them to leave, which is exactly as Paul wanted. So I want to close by saying that this is the start of a church. A lady who was a God-fearer, but a Gentile. And then a little demon-possessed girl who God would rescue. And then there was a Philippian jailer and all his family. Couldn't be three more unlikely people. They were all saved. Paul and Silas left. They left. How could they do that? How could they leave this guy and this girl and this little thing? Because they had God, they had the Holy Spirit, and they had the church. They had the Bible, the Holy Spirit, and the church. They had the Word, the Holy Spirit, and the church. And because they had the Word, and because they sought to follow the Holy Spirit, and because they depended on each other, they were going to make it. Let me ask you, would you make it? Would you? You have the Bible, you have the Holy Spirit, and you have the church. You have the things that you need in place. Would you make it? Would you make it? Stand up with me, if you would. I don't know where you are as far as your relationship with God goes. I don't know where you are as far as your relationship with Him through Jesus. But wherever it is, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and you will be saved. And that's all. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. You come forward for any reason. If you need to come and receive Christ, you can come do that. If you need to come and join our church, you can do that. If you just want prayer, you can do that. If you want to come and kneel at the altar, you can do that. Whatever you need this morning, you do it.